epistle of Peter was written to real people.
Yeah.
In a real circumstance, in a real situation.
Amen.
And their circumstance and their situation can help us as we study God's word and live in this wicked, evil world in which we live. So I want to say that, first of all, right off the bat. And this is a continuation of studies we've been doing. We looked, first of all, at the Messiah, the Lord. We looked at the Master. We looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we looked at the members of the church last Sunday and who they are, what they are, and what they should do. And tonight we're going to be looking at the mission of the church. The mission of God's people. Now, I remember many years ago, people would say, well, I'm away on my mission. And I understand what they meant. But, you know, the Bible says that every Christian has a mission to preach the gospel to every creature. It's not something you go on every once in a while. It's something you live every single day. Every day is a mission day. And let me say, it's not mission impossible. Amen. It is mission possible. Because every Christian can tell someone about Jesus and they can show them how to be saved. And that's a wonderful thing. So last Sunday, we looked at the fact that we were in times past not a people, but now through grace and faith, we are a people. Yeah. We are the people of God, and we are precious to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, oftentimes we say to ourselves, we're worthless before God. We're nothing. But you have to understand what makes us precious is not what we are, but the price that God paid for our salvation, which was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Thank God for that. So tonight we're going to look about being serious about following Christ. And if you're serious about following Christ, there is a path and there is a plan and there is a pattern that you and I can follow. So tonight we're going to look at verse number 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts," now notice this, "which war against the soul." So the first part of our mission is to be clean and separate because we're strangers and pilgrims. We're not here to stay. I'm looking forward to when the Lord comes back, amen. I'm just passing through this world, amen. This is not my home. People say, where are you from? I'm from Edinburgh. I'm from Dundee. It doesn't matter. Where are you going? And we're going to heaven, amen. And because we're going to heaven, we're only strangers and pilgrims in this land. And the first thing we are to do is to abstain from fleshy lusts, which war against the soul. Some people battle with sin, I understand. Some people have a problem with sin, I understand. But sometimes you just have to abstain. Stop.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to stop it. Sometimes we go through things and we do things and we get involved in things like we're mentioning tonight. And we go through all this rigmarole and all the rest of it. And we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves chastened of God. And all these things happen when if we just stopped. I learned to be a pilot many years ago when I was in America. And one of the most important things about being a pilot is this. Some days it's best not to fly. One, sometimes the best decision you can make when you look at the weather and you look at the circumstances is to say, nope, I'm not going to fly today because it's not safe. Because so many pilots get in their plane and say, I can handle the storm. I can do all these things and end up crashing and doing all kinds of problems and maybe even kill themselves. Sometimes the best thing to do is just to abstain, to stop. Now, in the army, they teach you how to fire a weapon. And people say, oh, it's easy to fire a weapon, isn't it? You just point and shoot. But what if you have a stoppage? Do you know how to clear a stoppage? You see, a rifle with a stoppage is just like a chunk of wood. It doesn't do you any good unless you can get that junk and the problem out. It's not going to do you any good. And the same is true with the fleshy things that take us from the things of God. We are as dearly beloved pilgrims. Just stop. You ever think that God just says to us, you know, sometimes we come to God and God says, and we say to the Lord, Lord, you know, I've sinned again. I've done this. And sometimes I think the Lord's like, why don't you just stop it? Now, I know there are sins that we all have and sometimes, you know, it's difficult to go. But there are things that we do that we know are wrong. And the best thing to do is just stop. Amen. For instance, say you're on a diet. Not a good day to be on a diet in this church, I'll tell you that. But say you're on a diet. The worst thing you can do is walk down a street full of bakeries and good stuff like that. You can't walk into a sweet shop and look at all the sweets and say, I'm on my diet this week. You've put yourself in a place of temptation. How many times spiritually have we done just that? But the Lord says, why don't you just stop? You know where you're going. You know you're a stranger and a pilgrim. Christians ought to have a pure walk. They should be concerned about purity. Amen? Purity. You know, we have a water filter in our house, and I tell people, drink this water and drink the tap water and see if you can tell a difference. And most people can tell a difference, amen? But every once in a while, there'll be problems with the taps, and it'll come out this brown gunk and all the rest of it. And they and you know what they tell you to do? Once they fixed it, keep flushing it till it's out. Maybe you need to flush out the sin in your life until it's out, amen. And you have some purity.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Dearly beloved, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain. When the devil comes to your door and knocks on and says, I'm here with your temptation. You know, I have a laugh. Our next door neighbor, every day they have one of these deliveries. I mean, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they have someone come and delivery. And you see all these guys in bikes all around delivering all the rest of it. You know, sometimes I think the devil comes along and delivers sin. Here's your sin for today. Maybe you just say, no, I'm stopping that. I'm stopping that. Are there sins in your life and sins in my life, or would you just stop it? Maybe we should just behave ourselves. Amen. We are to abstain. We're not to give in to the flesh and its appetites, because those appetites are those which war against our flesh, against our soul. Sometimes it's good to have some self-control.
Amen.
Sometimes we have God control our lives. Sometimes it's a big slap across our mugs, and God says, right, I'm going to take control. But maybe God wants you to take control.
Yeah.
I preached a couple of weeks about the Bible says, let a man cleanse himself.
Yeah.
There are things that God will do for you, but there are things you can do for yourself. And one of the first things to do is just to say, no. I'm saying, I'm not going to do it by the grace of God.
Amen.
The mission of God's people in this world is to live a pure life.
Amen.
Amen. We are to be serious about purity in our lives. And the reason why is because the effect that they have on our souls and also our testimonies. How many Christians have ruined their testimony, and then unsaved people say, well, that's a Christian. Now, there are some things, as we'll see in a few minutes, they're going to find fault with anyway. But maybe we don't need to give them any evidence, amen? How should we live as a Christian? We should have a pure life. We should have a life that is a powerful witness to the grace of God. Look at verse number 12. Having your conversation honest.
Amen.
How many dishonest Christians are there out there? Oh, but they're a Christian. They would never... That they're a preacher. They would. You know what a lot of Christians need is a good dose of honesty.
Amen.
Having your conversation, that means you're not only you're speaking, but your life.
Yeah.
Honest.
Yeah.
Honest.
Amen.
Among Gentiles. The reason why is because we know that people are watching us.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Every day.
Yeah.
You mess up one time. And they'll remember again and again and again and again and again. Now, I understand the past, and God can forgive, amen. But maybe not only abstaining from sin, but taking on an honest lifestyle that glorifies God.
Yes.
Having your conversation honest. Among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. If you're honest and live right, you may not win everyone, but you will win some.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
How many times have I heard from Christians who say, you know, my friends and my family, they turned their back on me, but when something happened, they said, could you please pray for me?
Yeah, that's true.
Because they know God's grace is in your life.
Yeah.
You may not win them all, but you may win some.
Yeah.
And if you have an honest conversation, even when they speak against you as evildoers, you know if you believe this book is God's perfect word, there are a lot of Christians who call you an evildoer. Well, you're just one of these King James only people. You're just one of these, aren't you? Yes.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I believe this is God's perfect word. Well, you know, there's mistakes in it. Show me one.
Amen.
Well, it's in there somewhere. Well, how would you know? You've never read it. How would you know? They're going to call us evildoers because we do right things. I believe it was in Ezekiel, it said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And that's exactly where we are.
Amen.
If you believe in righteousness and holiness and honesty and decency, you are weird. But if you're some way out, wacky, you know, not even getting to all the names, they think that's normal.
Amen.
But let me tell you, being a man is normal.
Amen.
Being a woman is normal. Living right is normal. Being a Christian is a good thing to do. But sometimes they will say things against you. They will call you an evildoer. But I want you to notice at the end of this verse, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This to me speaks of two things. First of all, they'll stand before God and answer for the things in their life. But maybe that day of visitation when you come knocking on their door and tell them the gospel. Maybe God will use that to save them. Don't underestimate the witness of God in your life.
Amen.
Don't underestimate it. There are people watching you.
Yeah.
So we should be serious about the path we're taking, the powerful witness, but also the pattern that we have in our life. Look at verse number 13. I like this verse. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or as unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Submit.
Amen.
We ought to pray for our country.
Yes.
We should pray for our leaders.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it is. We should pray for the king.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that. Amen. You know, there are too many Christians out there today who seriously are rebel against everything and anything when the Bible says submit.
Amen.
Now, I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of these, you know, places out there, rabbit holes and all the rest of it. But, you know, there are some Christians that rebel so much against everything.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, the Bible says honor the king. Submit
Amen.
To those who are our rulers that we might have a quiet and a peaceable life. No, I'm going to be the rebel without a cause. Really? Because the Bible says submit.
Amen.
Pray for them.
Mm.
Pay your taxes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's what the Bible says. Well, I'm a rebel. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be the rebel without a cause. I'm going to be against everything and everybody. That's what the Bible talks about evil people in the Bible.
Yeah.
Submit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't always look for darkness and conspiracy. Walk in the light and spread the light. We're children of the light.
Yeah.
We're children of the day. And people who spend all their time about rebellious conspiracy theories, dark things, they're off in dark places and they'll never be on doors telling people about Jesus.
Right.
But the Bible says submit. In order to submit, that means you have to go under the place you'd rather be. You know, there are too many people today who are sovereigns instead of servants. They don't want to be humble. They want to be the one in charge. Here tonight, I'd like to say submission should be an easy thing for a humble child of God to do.
Right.
You know, the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands.
Amen.
That's in the book.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But it also says, husbands, submit to the Lord.
Right.
Before it got to the wife, it got to the husband. Did you notice that? Did you? The wife was after the husband was told to submit himself to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
A wife has no problem submitting to a man who's submitting to God.
Amen.
It's when I had this guy a few years ago, and I'm sure Bruce would probably remember, some Russian guy. And he went in there and he was very mean and violent to his wife, and she said, and he said, I'm the man, she should obey me. What a dictator. Amen.
Yeah.
Submit. Submission should be an easy thing for a humble child of God to do. If you're humble, you have no problem with submission.
Yeah.
To the government, to the word.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that Bible. It says things I don't want to hear. Well, that's your problem.
Amen.
It's not the Bible's problem.
That's right.
Submission. The reason why a lot of people don't get saved is because they don't want to submit. They're in a fight between them and God. And they think in their wildest imagination that they'll be able to defeat God. Who do you think you are? Submit.
Amen.
Yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King or Supreme. Remember, this is at the time of Nero. Amen.
Yeah.
This was Nero who burned Christians.
Yeah.
And Peter's saying we should submit as a testimony of what God's grace has done in our life.
Amen.
Submission shouldn't be a problem for a humble child of God. Nor should we submit, we should support the good and hate the evil. Look at verse number 14. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. You know the reason why we have... I'll say this as kindly as I can. You know the reason why we have laws? To punish evildoers.
Amen.
You know why we have speed limits? To keep us under control. You know why we have laws in this country? To punish evil people.
Amen.
At least that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
I realize we're different at a different time. The Labour's talking about letting the jails out and letting everybody go. Yeah, that's not a good idea. But you know, as God's people, we should support and love the good and hate the evil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
As I said, the Bible says, and I believe it was Ezekiel, woe to them that call, no, it was Isaiah. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. That's the time we should live. But the Bible says, even unto governors who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Let me say this evening, a Christian should be the best citizen in the country.
Amen.
I'm not saying excuse the evil or the things that are wrong. I'm saying intrinsically, as far as character is concerned, we should be the kind of people look to and say, they're a good citizen.
That's good.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know they don't teach citizenship anymore? It's all about, you know, just do your own thing and be your own thing and be a tree if you want to. But we're heavenly citizens,
yes.
And we should be good citizens,
right.
Loving the good and hating the evil.
Amen.
Because they're sent by God for the punishment of evildoers, but also for the praise of those who love the truth. I've met so many angry Christians in my time. I remember one time when I was just a young Christian, I think I was saved about a year, I went to this preacher's meeting down in Hoyk. And I went in this guy from Northern Ireland. And he's dead now, so I can call his name. I'll just call him Desmond. Desmond. And this guy was driving along, and there's probably four or five of us in this. It was a Hillman Avenger. Debbie's favorite car. And so we're traveling up from Hoyk. I think it was up the A1. And this guy pulled in front and cut him off. You know that guy, Desmond, followed him for 20 miles, screaming him through the glass, saying, pull over! He's from Northern Ireland, by the way. Pull over! Pull over! Rah, 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 pull over! Pull over! Rah, rah. And I'm like, I want out this car. Another time we went to another guy called Darrell, and we went down street preaching in Edinburgh. And it was a good night. And he was driving me back to my house, and somebody walked across the street and did a sign with his hand. And so he stopped the car and jumped out of the car and chased this guy down the road.
Wow.
What? Is that what Jesus would do?
Exactly.
Really? The Bible says we're to submit unto the government and to those who are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. It would be doing well to do well, amen. You've got to be careful about the things that you allow yourself, and this goes back to abstaining, clearing out the blockage and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
We should love the good and hate the evil and be good citizens, good neighbors.
Amen.
I met Christians, I've had Christian neighbors who are, they're the most crooked people I've ever met. And I come from a family of crooked people. I mean, they're just mean. That's not the kind of way God wants us to be.
Amen.
God, now, I like sweet things. I have a sweet tooth. That's why I married my wife. She's sweet. But my wife loves sour. She loves sour. But I like sweet. And I think as God's people, we ought to be a sweet people.
Amen.
and not be an old sourpuss. Verse number 15, why should we act that way? Why should we be good neighbors, good citizens, and good people? For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So that when someone comes to you, and even though they don't believe what you believe, and they reject the truth, they'll have to say, well, I know what God's done in your life. I may not agree with you, but I can see what God's done in your life. That's the grace of God. You see, that doesn't get saved, but God uses that in our life to show what it means to be saved. And you know, you may not always tell the gospel to people through your mouth. You can do it through the way you live. That's what Peter's getting at. The mission of God's people is to get out there and to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men by the way we live. Don't you like just silencing people sometimes? If you live right, you'll silence a lot of people, a lot of critics.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's God's, it says this is the will of God. By doing good, now I'm not saying you get saved by doing good. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are the workmanship of God. He'll show outwardly what he's done inwardly.
Yeah.
And part of, and there are so many Christians that I see all the time who live the most worldly, atrocious, ungodly life. And they expect God to bless them. Maybe they need to get back to that first part and submit.
Amen.
Abstain.
Yes.
Silence them. That's verse number 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Because we are, now listen, you don't have to live for God to be saved.
Amen.
You don't have to come to church to continue to be saved.
That's right, man.
But because you are saved and because we are free, you should want to do those things.
Amen.
It shouldn't be something, oh, I've got to twist the arm. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, do I have to? I've known people that almost come to tears because it's church time. Oh, I got to go to church. I tell them, if that's your attitude, don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't bother. Because you're not going to be a blessing to anybody.
No.
We have enough sewer pussies. We don't need any more.
Yeah.
Actually, we don't. We have good people in this church. But anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
We should use our freedom of Christ not to be sovereigns in our own lives, but to be servants to take the gospel to people who need to hear.
Yeah.
Jesus says we're servants.
That's right, yeah.
Servants serve.
Amen.
They don't wait to be served. You know, there's a lot of Christians who come to church and say, well, I expect God to bless me. Maybe God wants you to be a blessing.
Amen.
Maybe you need to go out there and be a blessing to somebody else.
Yes.
Maybe instead of being served, you need to serve.
Yep.
I don't know if you've ever been in the service. Done, you know, silver service or a waiter or a waitress or something like that. You know, they work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a difficult, tough job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me sometimes, you know, when you go out to eat or you do something and you see a waiter or waitress and they're working really hard, you always find some jerk who gives them a hard time.
That's right.
I think it's God's people, we not ought not to be jerks,
mm-hmm.
but we should serve God with humility, holiness, and humbleness.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Yep.
As free, because we're free, Paul said, because I'm free, I've bound myself to all men.
Amen.
Paul said, I give up all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Well, I'm free, I can do what I want. Yeah, you can. But maybe you should do what God wants.
Amen.
But as a servant of God, honor all men. I believe we should honor all men. I thank God this is a church that anybody can come to. Amen. We even had English people occasionally come in and we will welcome them, amen. It doesn't matter. We have people from Hungary, Nigeria, Poland, you know, Russia, America. Yeah, it's fine. The Bible says we should honor all men. That means no matter who they are, where they come from, we should treat them with dignity and respect, even if they're lost, because that way we can give the gospel to them.
Yep.
Love the brotherhood. I believe that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
And we ought to should love to get together with God's people. I love church. I really do.
Well, you're just saying that because you're the pastor.
No, I used to. But if you met anyone before I became a pastor, I went to every single service. Every time the door was open, I look forward to it. I would count down the days. Yes, I get to go and be under the sound of the word of God, to hear preaching, amen, sing wonderful songs that glorify and magnify and uplift Jesus, and then I get to meet with God's people. Have you met the people out there? We ought to love Christians.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Bible says, how can you say you love the Lord whom you've not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? There's a lot of Christians who hate each other. That's wrong.
Amen.
That's sin.
Yep.
You can disagree with someone, but it doesn't mean you have to hate them. Amen.
Amen.
Honor the King. That's in there. I remember a few years ago we had the COVID thing. Remember that? There's people out there, one guy I know in particular who was out there, and he was, you know, he was going to disobey every single thing, regardless. He was out there, he was going to fight them and fight them and fight them. But then he came to this verse that says, it says, honor the King. Now, there are some things worth fighting for. And there's some things we don't fight for.
Amen.
Going back to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.
Amen.
If the government were to come in here today and say, you know, you can't preach that Bible anymore, you can't talk about Jesus anymore, you're going to have to arrest me.
Amen.
Because I'm going to do it.
Preach it.
I'm going to do it more, in fact.
Come on.
And louder.
Yeah.
But maybe we ought to be the kind of people that are good citizens, decent people, and love people. You'll never go wrong by loving people. Well, you know, they're this, that, and it doesn't matter. Love them anyway. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that's God, but he loved you when you were a sinner.
That's right.
Maybe you should love people too. As God's people, the Bible says that we are to love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You see, this is the mission of the church. It's not some catechism that you learn from Westminster or from Rome or anything like that. It's the mission of the church is to be saved, to take the gospel, and to be the kind of people that God can use to preach the gospel to this world. That's our mission, amen? We do that by submitting, by abstaining, by silencing those who would say evil things about us, about the good works that we do. Nothing wrong with good works. They don't save you.
No.
There's no salvation in good works.
Right.
But they're a great testimony.
Right.
How many times have people come up to me and said, you know, I know so-and-so, and I know they go to church, and I don't agree with them, but I know God's done something in their lives. What about your friends and your family? For years, I prayed for my mother for 30 years, my dad for 30 years before they finally got saved. But I remember they used to watch. Who's watching you? What's your mission tonight? It's to be the kind of person that God can use to bring light to darkness. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Help us, Lord, to take the light of the gospel into this dark world that we might glorify you in all things. Thank you tonight for this time we've had to gather together. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We ask these things and commit them unto thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.